Arizona taxpayers might be paying a little more attention to the state legislature than normal. That's because of the ongoing debate over tax conformity, whether or not the state will conform its income tax code to the federal one. That's important for the 2018 tax filing year since Congress passed the Tax Cut and Jobs Act, which limits some deductions while increasing the standard deduction. Legislative Republicans passed a bill last week that would have conformed the state's tax code while also cutting income tax rates to make the measure revenue neutral. Governor Ducey vetoed the bill, arguing any extra money that comes to the state as a result of tax conformity should go into the rainy day fund. Estimates suggest that amount could be around $150 million. We have two perspectives on this today, starting with Chad Heinrich, state director for the National Federation of Independent Business. His group supports the legislative approach.
Most of our concern comes down to simplicity for small business owners and our history of support for the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act that passed Congress in 2017. Most states, honestly, that typically conform to the federal code, which are considered static conforming states, have already done so. So Arizona is in a small group that have yet to do that. So it's very important to our small businesses that we conform with the federal code and that we hold taxpayers harmless to any tax increase that would result from the conformity.
Well, so you reference a tax increase, and I think someone like Governor Ducey would maybe quibble with the language there, saying, you know, it's not a tax increase. This is, you know, this is money that the state is bringing in that, you know, he just wants to, as you know, obviously put it into the rainy day fund. Why is that not the right approach? Why should the rates, in your mind, go down so that the money, the extra money, goes back to taxpayers?
Well, and that's a good point. And we don't disagree with being fiscally responsible and for the state to look at the rainy day fund and make deposits in there for the case of a rainy day. But where we are concerned is that strict conformity, meaning conformity without a decrease in the rates, would increase revenue. So anytime you change a law and revenue goes up, I think most people, if you ask them on the street, they would consider that a tax increase. And that's what we believe it is.
How is this impacting your members specifically? I mean, you talked about, you obviously represent small businesses, and most of what we've been hearing about is individual filers. How is this impacting your members?
Small businesses are a large part of the Arizona economy. I just saw a report from, I believe, the Small Business Administration Office of Advocacy that pegs the percentage of the state's economy that's generated by small business at 44%. We look back at tax data. This is IRS data from 2015, and we found that there were 166,000 small business taxpayers that were organized as what are called pass-through entities. And all this means is that the revenue from the business flows through to that individual taxpayer's tax return. So if you think about the small businesses that I'm referring to, it could be a barber shop down the street, any number of small office professional positions that you could think of, auto shops, landscapers, restaurant owners. All of these businesses make up the small business community, and they will all be impacted by a tax increase at various levels.
So we are obviously in this place now where the legislature passed a bill that you are in favor of. The governor vetoed it because he has his own idea, which you are not in favor of. People are starting to file their taxes now. Where do you think we go from here?
Well, I think we have a few options. One of them is we could do nothing. Technically, we are, as a state, conformed to the federal law that was in place prior to the federal law changes. So there's a law on the books that the Department of Revenue could use if needed. So that's one option. We would like to see conformity for simplicity's sake, conformity with an offset of some type to hold small businesses harmless.
Well, let me ask you sort of a, maybe what would be a lesser of two evils question for you, which is if it came down to doing nothing and keeping the state law on the books as the tax code conformed with federal law before the tax law that Congress passed, or going with strict conformity, which is what the governor wants, do you have a preference of those two?
So one has to consider that if we keep the law as it is, it effectively does hold the taxpayer harmless. But the other perspective to consider is that something that we can accomplish as a state in the short term? The legislative process is all about compromises. And because this has to do with revenue, this may get wrapped up into the budget negotiations. And I know that there are plenty of small business supportive lawmakers in the legislature on both sides of the aisle. So we look forward to continuing that conversation as we move through the legislative session. But I would also caution that time is of the essence.
Chad Heinrich is state director for the National Federation of Independent Business. In his veto letter, Governor Ducey referenced the idea of dealing with this issue as part of the budget and called on lawmakers to conform the state's tax code and invest in the Rainy Day Fund. Dave Wells is in favor of that approach. He's research director of the Grand Canyon Institute and helped write a policy paper on the subject.
Well, we think the best thing about tax conformity is that it provides a bit of added revenue for the state. Because if you look at the state's revenue picture from 2007, when we were at the similar point in a business cycle, today we have about $3 for every $4 that we had then when you adjust for population and inflation. And as a consequence, there's lots of pressures on the state to invest in things. And we've identified $1 billion in things. If we want to meet the 2030 goals to have 90% high school graduation rate, the kids who are going to graduate that year are already in second grade, and we need to be investing in schools and early childhood and things like that.
Well, the governor, though, is just talking about taking that extra revenue and putting it in the rainy day fund. Is that, in your mind, not a good use for that money?
No, I think that's an excellent use of the money this year because the economy is going to slow down, but it will be ongoing revenue. So you're not going to put that money in the rainy day fund every year. So this year, putting it in the rainy day fund makes a lot of sense. Economists expect the economy to slow, and it's a good idea.
Now, Republicans in the legislature talk about extra revenue as a tax increase. Why, in your mind, is this not a tax increase?
Well, technically, it's not a tax increase. You just need a majority to pass it because Arizona defines your income based on the federal definition of income. And if you conform with the federal definition of income, you technically have not change taxes. Now, just to be precise, the only people whose taxes are really going to go up as a consequence of this are the top 1%. So unless you're in the 700,000 plus income level, you really don't have much to worry here.
Okay, so technically, maybe this isn't a tax increase, but if you're sitting at home doing your taxes or you go to your tax preparer and they tell you that you're not getting extra money back, that it's instead going to the government, if you're a taxpayer, that sure feels like a tax increase, doesn't it?
Well, except it, most people won't affect them. So if you don't itemize your Arizona taxes, this won't affect you one bit. And you're going to save money on the federal taxes. Everybody's usually going to come out ahead for the most part because of the Tax Cut and Jobs Act that the Congress passed in December 2017. The only people who might pay a little bit more in state taxes who are middle income earners would be people who might have employer expenses that aren't reimbursed and the employer didn't change the way they dealt with that. Or a few people with home equity loans who use the money not to put into their home would also find that that's no longer deductible. But that's going to be a really small fraction of overall of taxpayers in the middle income areas.
So you mentioned that upper earners would be the ones who might feel the biggest effect from this. Does that have economic impacts down the line at all?
We don't think it's going to have really an economic impacts at all. And first of all, trickle-down economics really hasn't shown itself to be effective. Actually, it's more effective, we think, to give money to lower-income people because that is a consequence. They'll spend it, and they'll spend it locally. And the other thing about it is the top 1%, we use a family with an income of about $900,000 to represent them. Their federal taxes are going down by about $33,000, and their state taxes would only go up by a little over $3,000. So they're coming out over about $30,000 ahead anyway, so it's not like their incomes are going to go down as a consequence of this.
So understanding that you are a researcher and not a politician, let me ask you sort of about the place that we are in right now, which is that the GOP legislature passed a bill which would conform the state's tax code with the federal one and lower the rates. The governor, who does not like that idea, vetoed it. So right now, we're kind of in this middle gray area. Where do you think as a state we can and should go?
Well, hopefully the legislature now will comply with what the governor did. This is a pretty exciting, at least for us, to see the governor stand up for his principles here and ask the Republicans in his legislature to change what they've done. And he's pretty clear about that. And I think the clear choice is for the Republicans now to step up and join the governor on this rather than stand down and create a real problem for taxpayers.
Well, what would the impact be if the state ended up not doing anything and did not conform its 2018 tax code with a federal one.
Well, if we don't conform, we don't pass anything. That's what effectively what we didn't do last year. We should have done this last year. Then you'll still have different levels of deductions on your itemized. If you itemize in Arizona, so you won't be subject to the limitations, and as a consequence, the top 1% will end up paying less taxes than they would under conformity, and most people won't see much changes at all.
Dave Wells is research director for the Grand Canyon Institute.